We'll head out, and we'll head down to the south end.
Okay. Police Sergeant Peter Marr is walking with two social workers across the police department parking lot. One is carrying a colorful bag of toys. The trio piles into an unmarked police car. They're off to go do something police don't usually do. They're going back to the scene of a crisis where police were called earlier this week. This time, they're not going to enforce any laws. They're going to see if they can help.
My name is Nicola Dew. I'm a lieutenant with the Manchester Police Department. I oversee the juvenile and domestic violence units here, and I've been with the police department since 1995.
Nicole Ledoux works back at the station. She's a fast-talking, down-to-business police lieutenant who helped crunch the numbers that initially inspired what is now a grant-funded pilot project.
I mean, can you imagine responding to a call where you have a 6-year-old who's been the 911 caller because their parent has overdosed? So you go, police, fire, EMS, you deal with the overdose because that's your job. But then you're in your mind, you're thinking, man, that's a lot for that kid to handle.
Ledoux sees kids at overdose scenes, homicides, assaults, and more than anything else, at domestic violence incidents. Maybe a perpetrator gets arrested. Maybe the victim gets services. But the kids, she says, they're ignored. And it's not the police's job to help bystanders, but Ledoux says she sees the consequences all the time.
You know, 10 years into your career, you go to a domestic violence call, and it's now an adult who was a kid, you know, at a domestic violence call you went to 10 years ago. It's well documented. If that's what you grow up in and nobody steps in and says that's not the normal behavior between two people who are cohabitating, you know, and having a family, then you don't know that.
So how do you interrupt a cycle of violence? Steve DeRost's Mental Health and Arts Therapy Center is inside of a castle. Outside, there are turrets and stone facing. Inside, you're greeted by this music and a 7-foot replica of a knight in armor.
What do you call this guy?
Sir Richard. He stands here and, you know, makes sure that everyone is safe.
DeRost specializes in childhood trauma. Up a staircase in a room full of toys and coloring books, he tells me, yes, there is a way to overcome it.
There's really an amazing thing that happens when we really feel heard and when we really feel witnessed. We feel more grounded, we feel more safe. And of course, a lot of times domestic violence is a family secret.
Manchester police are now working to get kids to this place and others like it. Places where, ideally along with their parents, kids can be seen and heard by professionals. It's not easy. Parents in crisis can be too overwhelmed to call mental health centers for their kids. That's why for 4 hours twice a week, a police officer and two social workers return to the doorsteps of recent 911 calls. They're nearly 1 year into a 3-year pilot project. And tonight, Sergeant Peter Marr will knock on doors and say this.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Sergeant Peter Marr with the Manchester Police Department. We're here because your child, according to our police reports, was witness to a traumatic event.
Usually, that's where Sergeant Marr steps aside and Angela Deliani steps in.
So then I would say that I'm the advocate from the Manchester Community Health Center, and there are services that are available for the children to deal with the traumatic event that they witnessed.
Most of all, Deliani is hoping to get the parents' signature.
It's the way we can help them.
That way, the police can send the family's contact information to a health center, and the center can follow up. It takes the burden off of the parent, and it makes it more likely kids will get help. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Emily Corwin.